story.
We want it been.
Welcome to episode 159 of the Smugglers Galaxy podcast, your favorite Star Wars podcast for smugglers in the galaxy. It's a Sunday morning and we're recording. Jason had to be quiet because Shannon was sleeping right next to his computer earlier. So he had to like go over and nudge the bed a little bit and be like,
no, she got up on her own.
Time to get up. But it's a rainy day in Atlanta, so it definitely has the. I wish I could have slept in longer, but Kanan was like, "It's time to get up." My other puppies were like, "I'm done, man," and he had to get up, and my other puppies were trying to sleep in, and then we got up at like 8. But oh well, how you doing today, Jason?
I'm doing well. Yeah, it's a very slow. We've got a lot done so far, even though it's early in the morning. But it's a slow, rainy day, like you said, and just chilling.
Yeah, cool. Awesome. Y'all, yeah. I saw y'all had a date night. We had a date night last night, too. So.
Yeah, you went to a comedian.
Yeah, we went to see Bert Kreischer down at State Farm. I had won tickets on the radio. They were like touting it as, oh, you get suite tickets. It was cool. We were in a suite, but they normally serve food and stuff in a suite when you think suite tickets. Well, there was no food. And the way State Farm Arena has it set up is the suites are kind of off on their own. So to get food, it was kind of a haul to get food, which wasn't bad, but it was annoying. And, you know, one of the better things was there was a nice private bathroom right there. So if you had to go, it was like in and out and you didn't miss a whole lot of the show. But Bert Kreischer's pretty daggum funny. Mm. He did like he did like an hour and a half, hour 45 minutes, which for a comedian's crazy. And it was the first one I've seen in a big arena. So that was kind of interesting, you know, as far as that goes. But it was a hell of a show. Good time. I forgot that the Atlanta United were playing at the same time. So we're getting down there and I'm going my way that the kind of the back roads to go. And then we're driving right by the stadium. And my wife's like, is there something going on tonight? And I'm like, I don't know. And then you see everybody in the Miami jersey because the Miami team just signed like this big name player. I don't know his name, but is I know his numbers.
Is it Messi?
Is it Messi? I'm thinking it's Messi. That's what's the name that's sticking out in my head. But everybody's down wearing pink number 10 jerseys. So you knew who they were there to see. And I think the United ended up kicking their butt. So that was kind of fun. But yeah, it was a good night. Hung out, got to see some live comedy, get home about, you know, driving home last night. And we're like, let's hit up the Whataburger. So we got Whataburger, waited half an hour in line for Whataburger at like 11 o'clock at night.
Whataburger's weird because they were like, there's going to be mustard on this. Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Like, they got to clear it with you. Like, mustard. Yes, it's fine. Just put the mustard on the burger.
Yeah. Put the mustard on the mustard.
We went to a Cheesecake Factory, which we were trying to figure out the aesthetic of the Cheesecake Factory because it's a weird place. It's like Italian, but it's not Italian. They're known for cheesecake. So why is cheesecake associated with Italian people for some, or maybe Italy? I don't know. But then, so they had like Roman columns there. They have, you know, like marble. They have like plaster chip, but it's not really plaster. It's all painted on there. And then the menu just screams diner. It doesn't, it doesn't scream upscale restaurant. It's just weird. I don't know. Anyways, I'm going nowhere with that.
Right. Now, I've never been to the Cheesecake Factory, so I guess I need to go, but I like diner food. And that's basically what I've heard. It's a high class diner.
Yeah. It's weird. It's like it's got this feeling of like an upscale Italian restaurant. Not really, but
so you're saying it's not the Olive Garden?
it's not the Olive Garden. They try to be the step above Olive Garden, but they serve more than Italian food. You can get burgers. They serve breakfast all day. It's like a freaking diner.
Jeez.
I'll tell you one thing. It's not diner prices.
I've heard it's expensive.
Yeah. That's why it's just a once in a while kind of thing.
Well, it's definitely your 19th anniversary. Cause that was that last night or that? No, that's next weekend. Ain't it?
No, our 19th anniversary is next month, but we're just like, this will just do. Like, we might not be able to get to a dinner next month. So we're just going to call this our anniversary dinner just in case this is not.
And the only reason I know is because, like, you know, my wife, actually your wife did sign up for the painting thing. Yes. So it's the same like weekend as your anniversary. So that's the only reason I know. Cause yeah, my wife's painting a picture of my dog for my birthday, like 3 months early. Yeah.
Did you pick anything up?
No. Actually, I'm working a deal on some Bill and Ted stuff, so I got to pay that off. And yeah, that's about it. I got some a line on some 2D Bill and Ted pre-production stuff. So then it's really cool because I showed you a picture of one of them, and you were like, "Oh, that's the dude we know."
Yes, yes. So it was Rick Watkins' signature in the corner.
Right. So that's kind of cool because I was like, "Oh, we know that guy."
But. Would you call it a post display?
It's a presentation board.
But it's more than a presentation board because I believe that's original art, cut and pasted on a presentation board.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. So I had that, and then I got a bunch of it's a bunch of pre-production pictures of other hard copies, not the hard copies I have, but a different set of hard copies with like handwritten notes on the back of them. So we'll see.
I got a bunch of TVC stuff.
Nice.
I got my Nomad Boba Fett, the one that came in with the Slave One that's repainted from Book of Boba Fett. That came in a baggie. So now they throw it on a card back. I picked that up. The TVC Cad Bane, which is a really cool figure. And the TVC Moff Jer Jerod.
Cool.
I got those. And then I went over. I love going to Second Chance. And I'm going to... try to complete my Action Fleet collection. And there's a bunch of variants that I didn't track down. And Chance got like three bins of Action Fleet. He's just like, go through it. We also found this. And I'm like, it was a boxed Slave One from 2002. So this was like one of the last Action Fleet ever produced. Uh-huh. And so I picked that up. I'm going to have to open it.
Oh, no.
I picked up.
Are you going to be okay when you do that? Do I need to like. Watch, make sure you don't faint or anything.
I might just leave a knife in the room with the family and just step out and they can do it.
I'll do maybe it when I come over one day, Jason, and I'll just rip the hell out of the box.
Maybe be therapeutic for the family to do it. They also had a Slave 2 from earlier in the series, Action Fleet. But I'm looking for a non-dirty one. So at some point they spray painted like airbrushed dirt on it. It was just like a splash of gray in a couple of areas. And I thought this doesn't have it when I was looking at it in the store, but in the box, it's very tough to see. And I'm like, is it clean? Maybe it's just a very light washing of dirt on it or scorch marks. I can't tell. So I'm just going to have to open it to see if it really is the clean version or not. But they did have an A-Wing clean.
Nice.
But this is stuff people don't care about. And I'm very thankful for that because, you know, people would be
it's awesome when you find that niche that nobody gives a crap about. And then you can just exploit it.
Because there's two variants of the hood, the cockpit. What do you call the top thing that peels back?
Canopy.
Canopy. Thank you. There's two different versions of the canopy. There's one where this is tough to explain. It's all one piece. It's not hinged. It kind of tucks into a hole. Mm-hmm. So you can slide it out and up. And then later on, they hinged it. So there's two different versions there. So it's like, if this is vintage Star Wars, you know, people would be like, oh, the hinged version is $75, but the unhinged version is $100.
$2,000.
But no, these things are still like $10 each. So nice. That's good.
Yeah, we did. I'm go ahead. No, I'll cut you. Well, no, okay, now you're drinking, so I will say something. When we did go to Second Chance last weekend, I forgot and picked up a bunch of the Action Fleet stuff, like the little figures, so we can use them for swag for the Winter Social.
Yeah. I can get back to that because this is all part of it.
Yeah.
The A-Wing, there's also a clean version, a dirty version of that. So I got the clean version. There's three different versions of the Imperial shuttle.
Jeez.
Yeah, because there's two of the different hinges. Kind of like the A-Wing where it slides out first hinged. And then there's the hinged version has two different versions. There's a clean version. And then there's a dirty version where there's like dirt running down the side of it. So I was able to pick that up. So now I have all three versions of the Imperial shuttle. And then I just found about this variant with Action Fleet. The Rancor came with the Gamorrean Guard and Luke Skywalker, and Luke Skywalker was holding the bone.
Uh-huh.
So as you can put Luke in the Rancor's hand and he kind of pulls him up to the mouth, and then you can kind of position Luke with his arms up. So it looks like he's trying to insert the bone. But there's another version where Luke came without the bone.
Okay.
So I just went over to Second Chance.
I saw you post that, yeah.
Yeah. That's the kind of the rare variant. I went to Second Chance. He had that. The reason I went to Second Chance is because you had pointed this out, an E-Wing minifigure.
Right.
And so I ran over there like the next day and he's like, oh yeah, I got the E-Wing in the back.
Oh.
So I'm going to buy that. It's missing. The engine kind of slides out on top.
Uh-huh.
It's missing that piece. So hopefully he can find that piece because I don't want to have. It's going to be incomplete anyways because it doesn't have the R7 droid.
Right.
Because he's already sold that off. But to have that and no canopy, like if I was going to buy it, I want at least the E-Wing to be complete.
Right.
So well, I didn't pick that up yet, but I will be.
Cool. Yeah, and I have the pilot here in a separate baggie waiting on you.
Keep that away from swag baggie. That's not swag.
No, we had put all the swag together and then I'm like, give me another bag so I can keep this E-Wing pilot separate. And everybody's just kind of staring at me laughing. I'm like, no, it's important to keep it separate because I know we're just going to get busy. And next thing you know, the E-Wing pilot's going to be in a pile of goo and Jason's not going to be happy.
No, I wouldn't be. I want that. I want that guy.
You were like, I'm running down there now. Yeah. Dude, it's like Sunday at 6:30. They closed at 6. I'm like, it'll be fine, Jason. I got it for you. It was only a dollar. I got you, man.
Thanks. The E-Wing is not a dollar, I'll tell you that much.
Right.
Some of those later episode one Action Fleets are probably the most expensive stuff on the market. A lot of that Action Fleet stuff, a lot of that episode one stuff isn't worth much, but like some of the later Action Fleet play sets, some of the later Action Fleet vehicles themselves, those are worth pretty close to $1,000 in some cases.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it is funny how like the stuff that was on clearance, that's the stuff now that people want because nobody wanted it or it got destroyed or, you know, it was been in the bottom of clearance bins and all been up and nobody, now everybody's like, I need to have that one because it was, nobody wanted it 20 years ago.
Right.
And it takes one person, maybe somebody listening to this podcast will be like, oh man, I need to go after those.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Just give me a month. Give me a month head start. There's some limited news.
Yeah.
Ahsoka is coming to Star Tours. Did I mention that last week with the Disney Park stuff?
We might have. There was just a lot going on last week.
So Mandalorian's coming to Star Tours, and now we've got the announcement.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
that Ahsoka's coming to Star Tours. I wonder if like Skeleton Crew is going to come to Star Tours and they just haven't announced it yet, but it's all 2024 dated.
Right. It's all easy stuff that they can just throw into Star Tours and be like, hey, you know, I was going to say Ashley, but it's not. It's Rosario. We need you to film like 30 seconds worth of dialogue for this.
Yeah.
And she can be like, Star Tours, what are you doing here?
Do you still listen to Disney Dish with
yeah,
it wasn't, yeah,
that's like my Monday listening podcast. Same. Listening.
Same. But he was talking about the Star Cruiser. Was that the latest episode or was that in one of his another podcasts?
They talk about it pretty regular, so I don't know.
So most people in the last month or so who've left the Star Cruiser gets a request for like $150.
Oh yeah, yeah. That was the latest one.
Okay, in an hour of your time, can you give us some information about your experience on the Star Cruiser? And the question is, why, if you're closing this thing down, do you care what people think about it? Because it doesn't matter. I think what Disney slowly realized that Star Wars, like they wanted to create Galaxy's Edge, the whole concept again is that it's going to be your adventure. It's not going to be Luke Skywalker's or anything from the sequel trilogy, Rey's story. This is your story. And A, that didn't work. But B, outside of the original trilogy characters, the other set of characters that are popular right now, Mandalorian, Hera, Ahsoka, Chopper, everybody that they're putting in there in Disneyland is what people care about. So I think what Disney's realizing that A, they need those characters. This needs to be set in that this time period.
Right. You think?
This is what people want. And B, maybe they're retooling the Star Cruiser to become maybe just a hotel where the Mandalorian walks around. They've invested a lot of money, so I don't think they would change the room so much.
Mm-hmm.
But they can do some subtle things to make it, you know, more of that time period and retool it. So that'd be cool.
Yeah, and maybe not make it $1,000 a night per person or something. I mean, I'd still be interested in it, but I mean, especially if you know
at the
that
very
they,
least,
huh?
At the very least, please don't make it $1,000.
Make
night.
It a couple, $200-$300 a night, and then you get to have like exclusive access to these characters, or not exclusive access to these characters, but you get to have an extended time with these characters. I would do it. It'd be fun. Yeah. Because when You kind of know when they're coming out, but you see Hera and you see Ahsoka and you see Mandalorian and Boba Fett. And when all those characters come out, they're bombarded with people. So if you know, hey, if I spend a couple of $100 and I can go hang out with them, why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah.
Especially if you already need a place to stay.
I would like to see them kind of strip it back a little bit. I like the whole idea of it being like a, what they call it, the LARC live action role playing.
Right.
Like that's for 2 days. I'd like to see him just scale it back for a night. Mm-hmm. You check in at 2, you leave at 11. And in that time on the Star Cruiser, it's like live theater. You know, maybe you've got a couple missions to play, but you don't need people to walk you through that. You just go to lightsaber training and then you go to the front cabin, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then from 7:30 to 9, there's some sort of dinner show where the thing happens.
Right.
And then 11 o'clock, you check out and you go to another hotel, you go to the parks or whatever. But I think that'd be cool.
Yeah, I think because it was definitely overload, because if you weren't doing something 24/7, you weren't going to get what you paid for out of it. And it wasn't a, relaxing vacation. It was something where you couldn't go down there and spend 2 days and feel relaxed. But Disney's not relaxing, but even if it's not relaxing, I enjoy the hell out of going to Disney.
Yeah. Deadline is reporting that Lando, the series, is becoming a movie now.
Dude, I think we're going to get a lot more movies coming up.
I hope so. Like, would you want it to be a scaled back version of like a Disney Plus movie? Or do you want it to be more of a Star Wars movie?
Ooh. I just want a good movie, but See, Disney Plus movie, so you're talking like something that's made exclusively for Disney Plus?
Yeah, like, what was the sequel? Hocus Pocus 2.
I'd like to, maybe a little bit of both, because I'd like to see the budget, because you know, the stuff they're throwing at Ahsoka and all the budgets of these Star Wars movies are million, you know, are movie budgets.
Yeah.
Per episode.
$10 million per episode.
Right.
Which is cheaper than a movie. I mean, if you're getting a 2-hour thing.
Yeah.
And they're spending $300 million on this 2-hour thing. And that's not even including marketing costs, which is another, you know, if you spend $200 million, you're going to market $200 million. That's usually how it works. Mm. But where was I going with that idea?
Yeah, I just want a good movie. I think, so I got to kind of go, you got to kind of go to the left to come back around. But I think with a lot of the movies right now is we're so spoiled right now with Disney Plus, because look, The Haunted Mansion's coming out the 1st of October and it's only been in theaters like 2 months. Yeah. So it doesn't really matter because eventually we're going to see it on Disney Plus, but you know, it'd be fun to see it in a theater. So yes, let's see a theatrical release that gives us an excuse to go see it. But I don't think it's Lando. I don't know if, you know,
if they pitch it and market it right, where this is a sequel to Solo, it's just it's like Han is a character that appears in Lando's story, just like how Lando appeared in Han's story. Like if it's just the flip version of that. So it's more Lando. Han does come in to help every once in a while, maybe. And so Han, we just know that Han's doing work for Jabba on the side or something like that. And they market it as if a sequel to Solo, even though it's more of a spinoff. I think it could be successful.
Let's do it then. And they got Donald Glover doing it. And he's a name that everybody knows, so I think it would be successful.
Yeah, my daughter loves Donald Glover, but she doesn't like Star Wars, so it'll be interesting to see if she actually pays attention to that movie or not. Rumor has it that Hasbro is going to start a Bring It Back Tuesday campaign instead of like Mando Mondays or Tuesdays, whatever they're doing now. I don't think they're doing anything. But they're going to release the Rumors Black series that we haven't seen in like 10 years. I think this will, yes, devalue the collection of people's Black Series figures, but just remember that modern figures are not an investment.
No.
Because Hasbro can do something like this, and you buy these figures, you're buying for an investment. You know that any time Hasbro can re-release a figure and crash the price of yours. So, and just collect for the love of it. I don't think that's I'm going to get off my sandbox. Soapbox.
Yeah, no, when I saw that they were releasing the AT-ST Raider, I was like, oh crap, but it's the same price you paid for yours.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was like, Jason,
but that goes to show, like, it was available for $200 at several cons that I've been to. Toylanta, I think PowerCon, there was one there for that price. Mm-hmm. That would have stung if I had bought it for the $200 price and then they re-release it for $80.
Right. Yeah, because you'd have lost $100 basically.
That's why it's a bad investment.
Yeah. Did you see that they were gonna they're doing PulseCon here soon, and that's when they're going to release the information on Sabine and Chopper.
I'm sorry. I just realized that there's comments based on what we're saying right now in real time.
Yeah.
I don't know if I should respond to comments. Jordan says to get back on my soapbox.
Jordan, was it in? I haven't seen. Oh, which one are you watching? Because the only one I see is a couple of comments on the.
That's right. Doug was on the Star Cruiser. We need to have him on and talk about.
Yeah, we experience. Do need to have Doug on. Doug did make a comment, and I don't know where. Did you like post it in your personal page?
No, it's I posted on GASWC, but you have to go into the video itself to see the comments.
Oh, okay. I have the video up, but I don't have any real comments.
Jerry and Randy are watching us right now.
Awesome. Sweet.
He's not.
Oh, there we go. Now I got a whole bunch of comments. I redid it. Hey, Tony and Jordan and Jerry / Randy and Douglas and Zach.
Yeah, we got to get back into the show because this is not interesting to listen to.
What were you talking about? Chopper and Sabine on Hasbro Pulse Con.
Yes. Is that it?
Yeah, I think so. I'll be interested to see what happens with that.
Before we talk about part five of Ahsoka, I just wanted to say the quality of the storytelling quality, in my opinion, in Ahsoka is much better than Mando season three. And so I'm wondering if Mando season three suffered because Filoni was more focused on Ahsoka than he was Mando three.
I don't know. I think Mando season three was sort of bringing it back to Mandalorians versus Din Djarin. I think
I'm just thinking the quality.
Yeah.
Because Filoni's attention was in a different direction.
Gotcha.
And now we're distracted by comments.
I'm trying to read it, but no, Jerry's just like, I wish I would go live more because I want to yell at you when you're recording. And Tony says, you know, he wants to buy 10-year-old figures on ancient mold. So he's looking forward to that. But, you know, I think Tony's being a smart ass.
Probably. It's a good guess. Like whenever Tony cracks a joke, he's being a smart mouth. Smarty pants. But Smarty pants. He does
Jason
make
still won't curse. It's great. No, I really enjoyed. Everybody poo-poos on Mandalorian season three, but I enjoyed it because that's sort of what I've been wanting was let's go. Mandalorians are huge. It's a huge thing that nobody's really covered yet. And then he started covering it in Mandalorian season three. And I, like I said, dude, I really think it's all leading it. This is all leading up to the Filoni verse, Mando verse, whatever we want to call it. And bring it on, you know, let's see what they're going to do, because I've also heard rumors that Mandalorian season four is going to be a movie. I don't know. I don't want them to start doing movies again. I want to see movies again, but I don't want the storytelling to suffer because they want to do movies again.
I'll give you this. I don't feel like, where was I going with that? Oh, forget it. Never mind.
Mandalorian season three, Mandalorian's movies.
Yeah, no. I was thinking about getting into the show itself. And I lost track of my thought.
Our show or Mandalore?
Mandalore. So, oh, back to the rumor. I gotcha.
Yes.
You had mentioned the rumor that season four of The Mandalorian will be a movie.
Yes.
And normally I wouldn't put much thought or consideration into rumors like that because who knows where that stuff came from? Is it even accurate? But now that Deadline is reporting that the Lando series is going to be a movie, you know, maybe Mando 4 is going to be a movie. Maybe this is the way forward to cut back on the cost. Instead of spending $80 million on 8 episodes, let's spend $50 million on a movie.
Right. As long as
it's good.
It's good. Don't let the storytelling suffer because of it. I mean, I know a lot of people poo-poo on like the third episode of Ahsoka, but then when you watch it with everything else, it makes sense. At the time, you're like, oh man, it's over, and you're mad. Yeah. But then when you see it with everything else, it just fits perfect.
Yeah.
I'm
five.
Trying to read stuff.
You're reading stuff now?
Just Robert saying something about your date night.
Chris Vargas says, I feel like Filoni was under very strict orders to deliver exactly what Lucasfilm wanted for Mando season three. And he wasn't exactly thrilled about it.
Yeah.
Favreau.
Yeah. I think that's what happened was they were, I don't want to say strict orders, but I think he was under strict orders for the first two seasons. And the third one, he kind of was a F you to Disney. And he's like, I gave you guys what you wanted the first two seasons. Now I'm going to do what I want to do. And he just went not off the rails, but went total left field with it.
Yeah. I think personally, I think seasons one and season two were more character focused on the Mandalorian and what he's doing in the universe and stuff like that. So when they start expanding that and they start telling more of the world stuff, like what's going on with Mandalore. So it's not just the Mandalorian anymore. They're trying to fill in what's going on with Mandalore. And I think as they got further away from that focus of just Mandalorian, the quality kind of went off kilter.
Maybe a little bit. I mean, you know, Mythosaur, it would have been nice to see more of it than just a tad, but you know.
But Ahsoka season one, episode five, part five. Shadow Warrior, written and directed by Dave Filoni.
Yes.
Thoughts?
I enjoyed it. I thought I enjoyed it a lot more my second watch, because it felt like the first one you were kind of figuring out exactly what was going on. And then the second time through, you're like, why am I crying over space whales?
Yeah, that was, the second watch was much more emotional than the first watch. I guess the question is, how many times did you cry?
Because
I think the record is three.
Yeah, two or three. I cried when it opens up and you have, No, the droid.
Oh, Hu Yang.
Hu Yang. You have Hu Yang holding Sabine's bucket. You're just like, oh my God, because they did that very, it was a very emotional scene. And then when Kanan was mentioned, and then the space whales.
So three
times.
That's the most you've cried through an episode so far.
That's about three or four times. Yeah.
Well, we need to know, because four cries is a good episode. Three cries is decent. Two cries is medium. One cry, you're getting lazy. Zero cries?
It's not even worth
watching.
Yeah, dude. Every That's time the skill Hera,
going forward.
Every time Hera walks by and you see a shot of her butt, I cry because it's just so good looking.
I don't even know what to say.
No, and also I think it's, you know, when the space whales, when the ending, I think you're like, you know what's coming. You know you're finally getting some closure, or at least if not closure, getting the start of something. Robert, it's like a big apple you want to bite.
Oh, okay, great.
Off the rails.
Yeah, so one of the first things, you know, we see several shots of CTOS, and Hera lands the ghost and she starts exploring around. And
I also kind of tear up when I see the ghost in live action flying around.
I'm sure. So she finds Hu Yang. There's that emotional beat where he's holding a Sabine's helmet and says, I told them they should have stayed together. And it's almost like he's feeling the guilt for not ensuring that they stayed together.
I gotta say, dude, for a droid, they do an awesome job with Hu Yang. He feels so human, and he's a freaking droid.
Yeah.
I think it's because of the blinking and the vocalization. It just, he shows so much emotion.
He does, but he's also thoughtful, and because he was very careful on it, with the way he described Anakin to Hera. Because later in the episode, Hera's like, what was he like? And he could have said anything about Anakin. Kind and smart, but also determined and impressionable, I guess. Right. But instead he uses the word intense. So he was very considerate the way he described Anakin to Hera.
And Anakin was very intense.
Yeah. But anyways, we're back in the world between worlds, and Ahsoka is confronted by Anakin Skywalker, who informs Ahsoka that she lost the battle against Baylan. And Anakin remembers that it's good that she remembers, because that gives her the opportunity to choose between life or death.
Right.
And Ahsoka is told by Anakin that Anakin's there to finish her training. And she says it's a little too late for that, probably assuming that you have to be, like, if you're 13, you can become a Jedi. If you're 20 or older, you can't, because you're past that Padawan age.
Right.
So I'm wondering if she attaches some age to when you can become a Jedi, and she's too old for that. Anakin informs her one is never too old, Snips. She agrees to learn the lesson. The lesson is live or die. You know, choose to live or choose not to live, to go the other way. Ahsoka says that she won't fight him as he pulls out his lightsaber, and Anakin says that he's heard that before, referencing Luke in Return of the Jedi. Dating this post Return of the Jedi. This is not Anakin from episode 3 pulled through or jumping through before he turns to the dark side.
I think that's what threw me off the first time I watched this episode, is because you're hearing all this stuff and you're like, wait a minute. You're trying to figure out, is it the world between worlds? What's going on? Is it real? Is it in her head? Is it, where is Anakin? You know, is he a force ghost? What all is going on? And the second time I was just like, shut up, brain. Let's just enjoy the ride.
So it is the world between worlds, but I think it's quite literally the world between life and death in this case. So I do think it's real. I think Anakin is a Force ghost. I do think this is Anakin Skywalker after he's turned to the light side at the end of Return of the Jedi.
Well, why did you keep seeing him jump back and forth between Darth Vader?
That's part of the lesson, because we can get into it, because I've seen a lot of interpretations about what this episode meant.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave me a lot of anxiety trying to figure that out, because one can't be right, one can't be wrong.
Right. And I've kind of given up watching those because everybody's wrong. The only person that's right is Dave Filoni, and he proves everybody wrong in the next episode.
So I made
I haven't seen one be right so far.
I made lots of notes about what I think this episode means.
Okay.
So hopefully, you know, using what we've seen on screen, we can, and without drawing in things from, like, in this book, Ahsoka says this, and in this Clone Wars episode, and this Rebels, like, I brought it all to what we've seen so far in Ahsoka.
Okay.
That's the lens I'm viewing it through. So, let's see. Back on Cetos, Jason is listening to the waves.
Right.
As radar scans at the dish, his little radar dish on top. Carson Teven name drops that Senator Organa is going to try to buy some time, meaning that she's in with the fight against Thrawn.
That's awesome. That was a cool. Did I just hear that?
Yeah. Yeah, you did. The New Republic is shutting this whole thing down, this whole mission to try to find out if Thrawn's trying to come back, which is kind of weird, but it just kind of folds back in what we've seen in that one episode of The Mandalorian season 3, where they're not really focusing on arming themselves or being defensive. It's just like, no, he's gone. The threat's over.
Right. They're more worried about politics than they are protecting themselves.
Yeah. I thought this was cool for a number of reasons. Jason says he can feel something in the water, and as they close their eyes, they can listen to the waves. Hera listens, and she's like, she's just very supportive. Like, you've got this New Republic fleet coming to get you. You got to go find Ahsoka. And Jason's like, no, we got to stop and listen for a moment. And so even though the clock's ticking, Hera takes the time to kind of to listen to her son,
right?
And to hear and to trust him and believe in what he's saying. So they do close their eyes. And you start to hear the sound of lightsabers out there. Hera believes that Ahsoka's still out in the water somehow. So
right. Well, you also got to realize Hera's seen some weird crap too. So she knows that, you know, she knows the lineage that her son has. So, you know, you got to kind of just listen.
So that was important. But I think it's also important because it grounds where the world between worlds is right now.
Right.
And it's through the Force. Like, everything that's happening is through the Force. It's not a actual realm. It's like they're living in the Force for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
So much so, and so close to Jason that Jason can feel it. That it's real, it's happening, but it's happening in the Force.
Either that or it's happening like in a third dimension, like right here. Like, you guys are here and the world between worlds is here type thing. Like, right over the veil, like on the other side of the veil.
I would think maybe this is the veil itself.
Okay.
That we're in the veil. Because once you pass through the veil, you're dead. You can't go back.
Okay.
But because she's got the option to live or die, she's like the veil itself. Like, she can fall either way out of the doorway.
Okay. That makes sense.
I also wanted to, I was being snarky this morning. I also want to thank Filoni for not adding another annoying kid to Star Wars, because Jason's not. He's good.
Is he earning your name?
We'll see. TBD. TBD. He's not like Ezra. Ezra was a punk.
Yeah.
He was always getting himself in trouble. But Jason's like respecting his mom. He's doing what she asks. He doesn't like, she's like, go hide over there behind Chopper. You don't see him go.
So cheesy. I'm sorry. I'm like, oh my God. Like, Chopper is going to really protect you, but maybe he will. I don't.
He's a war criminal. So he'll blow up the planet before he lets anyone harm Jason.
Oh, that was so bad. But then it's like, they've done that before, so they have like their own little hand signals and stuff worked out, so he knew exactly what to do.
Back in the world between worlds, Anakin does his trademark spin move, so it's something Hayden Christensen came up with while rehearsing for episode three was this move where he swings it and then he swings it behind him and he comes back around.
Yeah, I had to pause a minute and be like, dude, after like, because I watched the first one on Tuesday and then I think I watched my second watch was like Thursday night. And I had time to process everything. And you're watching all the social media stuff and people blow up. And then you realize that this is stuff people's been waiting a long time for. And, you know, you're seeing, you know, Clone Wars people. This means just as much to Clone Wars people as this does to us Rebels people, you know. And when you watch it from that lens, it's something totally different. You know, that half an hour of TV of that battle was incredible when you look at it through the Clone Wars lens.
Yeah, it was there was a couple moments that were like, this is pretty incredible to see Hayden Christensen look exactly like the cartoon,
right?
And to see it like, oh no, like if you work it the other way where this is the live action version, they turned it into a cartoon, like, oh, I could see that too,
right? Like, I thought, yeah, they did. It was very well done. After the second watch, I was like, man, imagine. Because after the first watch, you were like, why would you want to see this in a theater? And then after the second watch, you're like, oh, this would have been awesome to see in a theater.
Yeah. It would have, with the community crying together. Ahsoka kicks Anakin in the face, confident that she's learned everything she needs to learn from Anakin. So this is like a waste of her time. Mm-hmm. And Anakin says he hasn't taught her everything yet. He slices the bridge and Ahsoka falls down to the clouds. And then she's covered by the fog of war. Phase one clone troopers run right past her. She stands up. She looks straight out of the Clone Wars, which just kind of goes to show that she was... like, animation kind of hides the fact that she's a teenager.
Right.
She doesn't come across as a teenager, but she is, like, young.
Yeah.
Too young to see the war.
Right. And have you seen the memes, like, when she stands up and, like, this is the Clone Wars? And it's like everybody else going, it's Clone Wars. And then Anakin's like, of course.
Of course, yes.
Of course it is.
They've nailed the look. It looks phenomenal.
Yeah.
Ahsoka kind of wonders where she is right now. And Anakin tells her, you tell me why I'm here. It's almost like this is a self-discovery. It's not for Anakin. It's something for Ahsoka to figure out.
Yeah.
She doesn't understand what's going on. And Anakin says that's her problem. They all run to battle. There's explosions everywhere. Ahsoka, like everything explodes and there's a moment of war and they kind of fade to post-war. As they're running, Ahsoka asks her, what about the training? And Anakin says, this is your training.
Yeah.
So I guess the question is that a replay of something that happened in the Clone Wars, or is that something that's going on right now?
I think I saw something like it was the first battle of the Clone Wars and the last battle of the Clone Wars. So it was a bookend of battles for Ahsoka.
Yeah. Did I accidentally delete a lot more than I needed to? Because there's section.
What did you do?
I thought I wrote this down, but there's that whole section where they're standing around. Oh no. So yeah, I did delete too much because of the cut to the post battle of what just happened. Clone troopers are lying on stretchers. Ahsoka takes the hand of one of them. The clone trooper grabs her hand and kind of pats it like, thank you for your support. Anakin says that she needs to go with him and attack more droids. Ahsoka is weighed down by the cost of war, the loss. It just doesn't seem like something Jedi should do in her mind. Ahsoka says that all the deaths of the clone troopers are her fault because she's the one that led them.
But she's a teenager. More coffee, Jason, this morning?
Probably. She's a teenager.
Yeah.
And she's leading clone warriors into battle.
Yeah. I mean, that's what Jedi did. Dude, if you really look into it, Jedi are real a-holes because they will take babies away from their parents and, you have the Force. We're going to take you away as a baby and raise you as your own and you're never going to see your family again.
Yeah. Yeah, it was all manipulated. That's not what Jedis are supposed to be. They're supposed to be guardians of the peace, as Anakin says later in the show.
Right.
But Anakin says it's their job to lead the Clone Wars. So Ahsoka's wrestling with that fact that she's led all these clones to their death. She says this is not what we trained for. And Anakin says that they have to adjust to the times. This is what they're needed to be right now. They're supposed to be keepers of the peace, as Obi-Wan told Anakin a long time ago. But now things have changed. Anakin tells her that she needs to become a warrior, a soldier. And that's what she's supposed to learn or supposed right. to be. Ahsoka asks if this is what she has to do to train her Padawan. So she's still thinking about Sabine here. Like, do I really need to train? Because that's all that I guess she was training her to be, was like a warrior.
Right.
Now that we go back and think about it.
Yeah.
So maybe she's carrying on what Anakin taught her.
Maybe.
And she doesn't believe it.
Yeah, I think all of this, now that you're saying that, I think it's all because, oh gosh, her trying to figure out how to train Sabine. I mean, this may be the whole thing about the season too, because that they lean on that pretty hard.
Yeah. Maybe Ahsoka could find a new way to train more right. like monks.
Yeah.
Ahsoka asks, you know, Anakin, like, what if I want to stop fighting? And Anakin says, then you'll die, which ties back to the whole thing with the start of the episode where Anakin says you have the choice to live or die. So mm-hmm. if she stops fighting, she's going to die, which is, I guess, what happened with Baylan. Like, maybe she just didn't have her heart into the fight or didn't believe in the fight.
Yeah. I don't know. Baylan was she was overmatched by him. And I really, I'm trying to think how to, I don't think we've seen Ahsoka's full potential in this, in her live action, because in Clone Wars, she was a badass. And yeah. live action, like, people are getting the better of her. You know, Marin, what's the lady's name? The witch. Morgan.
Morgan Elsbeth.
She was getting the better of her. She should have kicked Morgan's ass.
Yeah.
And if she was in the right frame of mind, she would have given Baylan a better fight for her money. So I think something's been going on with her, and we finally saw the conclusion of it in this episode. It could have been the guilt. She could be living with the guilt.
Yeah, because I was just thinking about this. So the next shot after Anakin says, then you'll die, he turns around and he walks towards the battle, and we get this incredible scene, maybe like my favorite scene from Star Wars since Vader appeared on the deck in Rogue One. The fog kind of consumes Anakin, and there's an explosion, and we see Darth Vader walking away.
Yeah.
And so what's going on here? I think this is what Filoni's saying. Anakin walks away and says, you'll die. So Ahsoka is watching Anakin with that path, like the path of death. She did stop fighting. She walked away from the Jedi Order.
Right.
And so here we see her stop fighting, right?
Yeah.
And that's what she's done. So she's watching, she's seen Anakin turn into Vader, turn back to Anakin. So I think that's a display of her guilt.
Yeah, okay.
So she's chosen to quote die because she walked away from, she stopped fighting. And so now she's watching Anakin walk away because of that choice and feel that guilt. So it ties back to what you're saying.
Right. And now that she is.
Right.
You know, right. And it was her getting away from her guilt and, you know, letting Anakin fall and all this other stuff. And I guess it was the guilt of Anakin and the guilt of the clone troopers leading them to death. And she just had a lot of guilt. I mean, she, you know,
she's carrying a lot.
Yeah. And the last time we saw see her in Clone Wars, she's 19, 20 years old.
Mm-hmm. Back on CTOS, X-Wings are scanning the water. Carson isn't getting anything. He's not getting any readings. He says, Hera says to widen the search. And he's like, well, we're going to lose our fuel reserves. Hera's like, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
That just goes to show she's a good leader.
Right.
Let's see. Hera asks Hu Yang, that she constantly ignores orders, but she came to CTOS anyway. She says that's why people like her, because she cares about people.
Yeah.
Hera says that Ahsoka is tenacious. Hu Yang says she's just like the master, which Hera asks, you know, what was he like? And he says, intense.
Right.
Chopper finds something out in the water. So they go race towards that. Back in the dream world, Ahsoka is at the end of Clone Wars at the Siege of Mandalore, wearing what she wore, you know, at the end of the show. She's fighting off Maul's troopers, which it was cool to see those.
I was waiting to see Darth Maul like pop out too. That would have been badass.
Yeah. She's more experienced as we cut in there. She's not just running with the sabers. We saw her in the first dream sequence. This is, you know, she's fighting with double lightsabers and doing all the moves that we know she can do.
Right.
At this point, she has walked away from the order. So I guess. So, yeah, she's walked away at this point. So maybe in the previous scene, I don't forget it. When she sees Anakin, like that's a symbol of time passing and him turning into Vader.
Maybe. I did enjoy the exchange that Anakin and her had, because she was like, I don't remember that. He was like, I don't remember this battle. And she's like, oh, we've parted ways between then. You know, this is when we part ways.
Right before that, we do get a Captain Rex cameo.
It would have been nice to see Tamora Morrison in that.
There'd be a lot of de-aging going on there.
Yeah. Oh, well, maybe. I did find it interesting how they kind of hid all the clone troopers' faces, because you knew that would have been expensive CGI to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They got to, you know what they're doing? You know what they're doing?
What?
They're saving it for Zeb.
Yes. Yes. I don't know if we're going to get there. Ahsoka, yeah, like you're saying, delete more than I needed to. Yes, Ahsoka watches the devastation as the clone troopers kind of move on towards war. Anakin appears behind her in full episode 3 gear, and he says that he wasn't present for that battle, which means that this, you know, isn't time travel. This is like a dream sequence. He says that it looks intense, and she says it was. He says she aged well. She's become a warrior, as he trained her to be. And he says that he's passed on all the knowledge he ever knew or possessed, as he learned from his master, who learned that from his. She's part of that legacy.
Right.
And Ahsoka says that her part of that legacy is death and war, which she doesn't approve of. Anakin says that she's more than that, because he is more than that, because if he's giving everything that she has and she has it all, she's got more power in her than she realizes, because Anakin was so powerful.
Right.
Even Ahsoka says that you're more powerful and dangerous than anyone realized. Anakin is upset by that. She's learned nothing, because, again, she's more powerful than she realizes. She doesn't believe in herself, which I think is part of this dream thing.
Yeah.
So they must go back to the beginning, live or die. He ignites his red lightsaber and his Sith eyes, which was awesome. Anakin kicks her. They fight for a brief moment. Anakin kicks her back into the world between worlds, where we hear briefly Vader breathing before we see Vader walk out. But then it kind of switches back to Anakin because of the fog of war.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, you're getting excited with Vader's breath.
No, just the whole Anakin, the transition from Vader to Anakin, then back to Vader, and then Vader, Darth Vader before he got the suit. And just that whole interaction was incredible.
Anakin yells at her. She has a lack of conviction, which again is a lack of belief in herself. So she's dealing with guilt. She's dealing with the fact that she doesn't believe in herself. Anakin says it's time to die. Ahsoka doesn't have a lightsaber at this point, but she's able to dodge Anakin's and take it from him. She gets close to Anakin, and slowly her eyes turn from normal eyes to Sith eyes. It's not there at the start of the clip, but it's there at the end.
Freaking Dave Filoni, man.
Yeah. But she tosses the saber off the bridge, much like Luke does at the end of Return of the Jedi, and says she chooses to live.
Mm-hmm.
Anakin steps away. The Sith eyes go away. He gives her a smile and says, "Then there's hope for you yet." Anakin disappears. So the things that I think I learned from these dream sequences is that A, Ahsoka wants to live. B, she believes in herself now. Just because she's part of Anakin's legacy doesn't mean she will follow the same path. Hence the idea that she can actually toss the saber away and not fight. And she can no longer carry the guilt of walking away from Anakin right. any further. Cool.
Yeah.
Moving
on. Yeah, moving on. No.
the world between worlds collapses and she's kind of coming out of the force back into the water. There must be like some sort of force bubble. Maybe that's what Anakin, what Chopper and Jason were able to pick out.
Yeah. Either that or she finally came back into the real world.
Yep. We cut back to the interior of her starship and she's like in the darkness, but the light kind of fades. The light opens up onto her.
Right.
So she was in darkness. She's in light now. That's what the metaphor is.
Yeah.
She wakes up and Hu Ying is there and gives her a sheet to wear. Jason says that he heard Ahsoka fighting when Ahsoka walks out and he gives her a hug. And
were you not weirded out by her not having her headgear?
Yes, that was weird. On? That did not look right.
I watched that and I was like, wait a minute. I saw that. Yeah. And then I started looking at her. I want to call it Klaatu, but it's wrong. Her headpiece.
Yeah.
And I was like, she's faded. You know, it felt like the headpiece had faded. Maybe it was because she didn't have her headband on. And then she throws on a white outfit. And I'm going, don't tell me this is how she's going to be Ahsoka the White. Where it was something incredible, but it wasn't what we were expecting. You know, we were expecting this grandiose thing, which it was grandiose, but it wasn't as grandiose as we were expecting. And she becomes Ahsoka the White. And I'm like, please tell me she's not just snaps her fingers. I'm Ahsoka the White now.
No, I don't think she realizes it, but she has gone through a transformation. She has let the weight behind her, the weight that was inside of her behind her, and she's moving on and moving to a lighter path.
Yeah.
So I think it was a pretty good transition. I think it was worthy of becoming Ahsoka the White. I don't know.
Yeah, it was. It just wasn't, I don't know. I'm not poo-pooing on it. Don't get me wrong. But it's like everything in our head cannons are so much huger than what it is. And then it takes a half an hour to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're all like, oh my God, that was incredible, which it was. I'm just more, huh?
But was it?
What was it? I thought I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I'll see what they do.
Did you like it though? Did you like it though?
Yeah, no. Just her transforming like the physical, like it was like, oh, I have a white outfit in my ship. Let me go get it. Or, oh, look, you guys washed my clothes. Let me put on the clean clothes or whatever. That's how it felt. The actual physical transformation. We saw the mental transformation with Anakin, but the physical was just like, I've got some clean clothes. Let me go put them on.
Maybe. again, Jason says that he heard Ahsoka fighting. And he wondered who she was fighting with. She doesn't answer, but I do think that's confirmation that it was a real place that happened in the Force. It wasn't a dream.
Yeah.
It wasn't a hallucination. It was an actual thing that happened in the Force.
Right.
Hera wants to know where Sabine is. Ahsoka uses her Force Echo abilities introduced in Jedi Fallen Order to read the map and try to figure out what happened around it in the time that Sabine had left. Obviously, she's gone to another galaxy with Baylan. We've already seen that. But she's decided to go find Ezra, which means Thrawn as well. She establishes that Sabine was alive when they shipped off. So who knows what's happened since they've gone into the other galaxy. Let's see. I can just go back up to Ahsoka and finds an answer with the Purrgils. She decided that the Purrgils can make jumps across the galaxy. That's where the map came from based on their path through one galaxy to another, so they don't skip it or they go to the right place in the galaxy. She thinks that she can use the Purrgils to go find Ezra and Sabine.
No, you're right. I'm adding my color right now because you know you have her doing the Force Echo, which you kind of saw a little bit. Now all of a sudden she's really good at Force Echo, and now all of a sudden she can talk to animals. It's like she is becoming everything. You know, she's becoming more powerful than the most powerful Jedi we've known. And I think from her going to something that annoyed the crap out of people to being oh my God, the most powerful Jedi in the galaxy. And, you know, to see a character do that is something pretty cool because I remember, you know, seeing her in Rebels and knowing what she is and then seeing Clone Wars and going, Ahsoka's annoying, you know, and being like, I hope she transitions into something more. And we actually got to see a character grow up in Star Wars and become the most powerful Jedi in the galaxy, which is what Ahsoka's becoming.
We get another cameo from Mon Mothma. What?
Nothing.
You're laughing.
No, nothing. It's just move along.
We've got we're past an hour.
Oh my God.
We're past an hour.
So let's see your Mon Mothma be a little bee. Come on.
Yeah, she says that they're shutting things down, that Hera is not listening to orders. She needs to come back and answer for this. They're going to strip Hera of her title general, probably because she's, like I said, ignoring command. And she needs to bring Ahsoka back for testimony to say, no, Thrawn is a real issue. Hera's not being crazy. But despite all of that, despite the trouble, Hera decides to help Ahsoka because she believes in doing what's right versus doing what the Republic is telling her to do.
Right.
You
know, once a rebel, always a rebel.
Always a rebel. So they fly into the clouds. And that's where they meet up with the Purrgils. Ahsoka is in full white gear now. I mean, she's like the great Jedi. She's no longer gray, as people might say. Ahsoka steps out onto the wing of the ship, and much like we saw her communicate with Grogu in The Mandalorian, she uses this feeling kind of communication with animals. I think that's what Ezra's probably strength was, because he used to talk to animals all the time, including the Purrgils.
Right.
So Ahsoka's able to do that. She's able to speak with them. The fleet shows up. Carson Teva does his best to buy some time as Hera and Ahsoka, you know, communicate and try to get an agreement, an accord, so they can take them to this new galaxy. Jason asks his mom about the Purrgils, and she says that the Purrgils will take Ahsoka to where Sabine is, telling the audience exactly what's going on. Thank you. We know now.
And just like the stories. That would make it like number five. Just like the stories you used to tell me, Mom.
Yep.
How the Purrgils took Ezra and the bad guy away. And you're just like, damn it.
Was this a crying moment?
It was getting close. I was also drinking a beer and smoking a cigar when I watched it the second time. So I'm sure that helped. But yeah, that was a tearing up moment too. It's like anytime you mention Rebels, boom, here they come. Yeah.
The Purrgil opens its mouth and they fly the ship in. Hu Yang asks if the Purrgil knows where Sabine is taken, and Ahsoka says, I have no clue, no idea, but it's better than going nowhere. We cut back to Carson Teva, and he's actually telling the fleet what's going on, and Hera calls in and says, you got to move out of the way, because there's a flock of Purrgils coming in the direction.
Yeah.
And so the music swells into this moment where Hera and Ahsoka have a brief moment of goodbye. Hera says, may the force be with you. And the Purrgils fly off into another galaxy, which when the end credits came on and we see this map and lines connecting things, mm-hmm. I'm wondering if that's just the migration pattern of Purrgils in that galaxy.
It could be, because from what everybody is keep saying that the map is following the migration of Purrgils.
Oh, so people are saying this? It's not new.
Well, no. If you watch the, you know, when they're talking about the map in the show, they're saying that it follows the migration of Purrgils, which would make sense, huh?
I assumed that, yes, it makes sense. But I assumed that it just went from that planet to the other planet in another galaxy. That I thought they were talking, that's the migration.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you see that end credits, that's the migration pattern of where Purrgils go from one planet to another, and then they go back to CTOS, and then they fly out to the other galaxy.
Okay.
I think it's the same thing.
I think they're one and the same. Right. I think they're one and the same. I think the map and the migration patterns of Purrgils are the same thing.
Forget it. I'm just repeating things now.
Yeah, we're just say a migration pattern of Purrgils so many times.
But anyways, yes, it was a good episode. I liked it a lot. Very emotional, especially on the second viewing.
Yes.
And we've got three episodes left, and I would assume that two of these episodes are about finding Ezra or meeting up, and then the last episode is some sort of big battle where everyone realizes, oh, Thrawn's back.
Yeah.
And we cut to the Empire winning the battle, maybe, and that's the end of the show. I don't know.
Yeah, I think you're right, because we've seen the only picture we've seen of Thrawn is him in his full regalia on the Aya Sion. So they're going to meet him, and he's going to be, you know, I doubt he's in his full regalia after 10 years in exile. So, yeah. It'll be pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're going to have them come back to the galaxy and Hera go, told you so. And then boom, big battle. And so like you said, and yeah, it's, I think the way you're right about it being the Empire is going to win on this one, or Thrawn's going to win or whatever, because the New Republic is not ready for a battle. They've, you know, when you see the fleet and it's three ships, you're like, something's wrong with this.
Well, is that the entire fleet, or is that just part of it?
I would assume it was just part of it, but the way they were talking was it was the fleet and it's three ships.
If that's the entire fleet, they are not ready for what's about to come.
I'm curious if Thrawn, you know, if Thrawn's had 10 years and he got sent into space with three or four Star Destroyers, he's going to have at least two Star Destroyers ready to go.
Yeah, and then all the other remnants of the Empire, the Shadow Council that we saw in the Mandalorian season 3, they'll all just unify underneath Thrawn, and then you've basically got the Empire back.
Yep.
Because they haven't gotten rid of all their stuff yet.
No, they haven't, and you just feel it, and then are we going to get, then we're going to, dude, it is... If Dave, with Dave,
feel Filoni, the excitement flow through you.
Yes, with Dave Filoni at the helm of Star Wars for the next forever, wow, dude, we are going to have some amazing, amazing content come out in the next 5 to 10 years of Star Wars.
I agree.
Yeah. What am I? I don't know what I'm trying to say.
Good episode.
I've got a couple of other notes, but we'll
get read there. Your notes.
Well, no, my only concern. Okay, so let's get back with Ahsoka. I think this is like a baptism for her with the whole water and everything, mm-hmm. Because she was messing with the dark side up until now, and she she couldn't find herself, and she was looking on the dark side, and then all of a sudden, you know, because water and baptism and everything, and then when she came out of the water, you know, it was a resurrection basically. Yep. And now she's Ahsoka the White, and she has her head straight, and she's back in the right headspace, and she can use everything she's learned, and now she's Ahsoka the White and is on her path to be the most powerful Jedi in the galaxy.
Yeah. I 50 points awarded to Glenn for coming up with the right answer.
Yeah. And I also want to see more Chopper, man. It feels like the robot's not working, or you can only do one thing at a time. I'm seeing a lot of Chopper, but when you see him, he's standing still and going,
the focus on this show is on a different droid, not Chopper. So,
but you know what I mean? When you see Chopper, he looks bad. He looks like the shark in Jaws. You know, it's like Chopper's not moving. So you, sorry, reading the comments, but you know what I mean? It's like Chopper, I know what you mean. Wrong with him. So he's not moving a lot or something. Or maybe it's the writing. I don't know.
I know what you mean, because like I missed R2-D2 from the sequel trilogy. All the focus was on BB-8.
Yeah.
So now we're all the focus is on Hu Yang, not Chopper, just like all the focus was on BB-8, not R2. So I understand what you're saying.
Right. Robert is saying, if I lose my train of thought, I should think about your date night.
Cheesecake Factory?
I guess. I don't know. Somebody said something about you losing your train of thought talking about date night earlier, but
I got s'mores cheesecake. It's the best.
Yeah.
Any other notes?
Not really. I want to get serious for a minute, and then I'm going to then we can close it out. But I'm sorry. I'm trying to think how to put my words together real quick, but it's the whole thing with suicide, you know, if you guys are having issues, man, like there's a number 9988, man, call me, message me on Facebook, something, you know, there's a lot of help. Don't go down that road, because we've had it in the Star Wars community. I've had it in my personal life like 20 years ago. And last week, one of my neighbors did it. And when you see you, when you go down that road, you don't see the aftermath. And when you're, you know, you come home from work and there's a ton of cop cars in your neighborhood, and then you see your wife come in tears because you find out what one of your neighbors just did. And, you know, this is a couple that we used to see walking their dog every day, jogging. We saw her jogging all the time, and now you don't see that. It hits you, you know. And when you take that action, you don't see the aftermath of what you're leaving behind. And your whole loved ones and people you don't even realize in a very dark place. And it just really sucks. So, you know, like I said, man, 988, just call that number. There's a lot of help out there if you ever go down, you want to have the feeling that you want to go down that path. Yeah. And, you know, don't do it, man. It's not worth it. Think of who the ones you leave behind that, you know, you think it's, oh, I'm in so much pain and I just can't deal with it anymore. And there's a lot of friends and a lot of help out there to not go down that path. So just take a minute, man. Take a deep breath and make a phone call. So I hate to end it on a bad note, or a sad note, but I have to get that out there. You know,
it's important.
It's important to me because I just
sorry that happened.
Yeah, it sucks because we drive by his house every day, and it's the people that did the Christmas tree lights, dude.
Oh.
Yeah. So, I mean, now it hits you because you're like, enjoying your Christmas tree lights.
It's not faceless to me anymore.
Right. And you know what I mean? It's like the people that, you know, it's like, that's not going to be a thing next year, this Christmas, because of tragedy that happens. And, you know, yeah. It's just important, man. Don't do that anymore. There's too much to lose by doing that. And you leave too much behind.
Yeah, so reach out to someone this week. Get your prostate checked. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do that. And have your pet spayed or neutered.
Yeah. This is the way. I'm not going to do the full spiel. I mean, it's just going to get silly again.
Yeah. So thanks for joining us, everybody, on live. And we'll see you guys next week.
Peace.
This is the way.